next program item is entitled Streamlining Accessibility Oracle Standards and Tools. And Oracle, I regret to say, has a less than favorable reputation right now among blind people who work with computers. Some of that reputation I don't think is deserved. Some of it is based on the fact that there's information about how Oracle things work that we don't seem to know how to get access to in the proper way. And so my first contact with Oracle came on the TITAC committee, which is the telecommunication, never mind what the acronym means. It's a Section 508 refresh thing. And I met a guy named Luke Kowalski over there, and I came to understand that, yes, indeed, Oracle really has some stuff in place to deal with accessibility, and I thought it's high time that we got to hear from Oracle about what it is they're doing. So we have with us today Don Rakes, who is an accessibility specialist with the Oracle Corporation. Some of you may know Don Rakes, at least by email, because he's been on some listservs. He is blind. He was born in California in 1960, so he's a little younger than me. I was born in 54. When he was almost 8 years old, he had a sinus infection that left him blind. So he's one of those, you know, not born blind people. Doesn't matter to me, though. The infection went untreated and too long a period of time, and so he became blind. And he attended the Montana School for the Deaf and Blind from the third through the fifth grades, and I suppose he was the first student. Actually, I guess the School for the Blind was too much for him because he went and got mainstreamed outside of Great Falls, Montana, the first blind student in the public school system. He participated in band, both concert and marching, very cool, during high school, and he graduated 23rd in his class of over 600. That's pretty good. Now, he attended the University of Arizona and got his, I hate to say this, BS in Management Information Systems. In 1983, after graduation, he was married, and he now has three college-age children. Welcome to the land of mortgage loans and so on. Don Rakes worked for a very small computer company right out of college, but within 9 months, he moved to Hughes Aircraft Company in Tucson. He was using the Opticon. Remember the Opticon, some of you guys? Huh? All right. Yeah, it's so easy to do his programming at the time. And after 8 years, he moved to a smaller company called Avalon Software, where he served as a database administrator and performance engineer for their software. Then, after a short stint with a consulting company, he worked for 3 years for the Arizona Republic newspaper as a programmer. When the newspaper started using Oracle software, he discovered that the Forms Builder was not accessible. So he wrote to Larry Ellison, CEO of Oracle. We could take a lesson, by the way, from Don. Listen up. Of Oracle, and told him he was missing out on a portion of his client base. Within 2 weeks, I don't know what you did, Don, to get this, but he was contacted by one of the chief architects at Oracle, offering any help they could provide. They sent him various pieces of software, and they helped him to figure out how to use them. He developed some scripts for JAWS to work with the Forms Builder and was asked to, you know, demo the scripts at Oracle HQ a couple of months later. And naturally, the scripts didn't work. You know, that's how demos are. After the demo, he was asked to join Oracle. You see, you know, look, there's a guy. He created his own job to help make their software accessible, and he has been there ever since. So to talk to us about what Oracle is doing to help out the accessibility effort, give a warm welcome to Mr. Don Rakes. Here's your mic, Don. You gotta kind of get a little close to that. Okay. Yeah.
Hello.
You're not
close
enough.
First, took the first part of my presentation away from me because I was going to do the whole story about contacting Larry Ellison.
I was impressed by that story.
Actually, that was my wife's idea. She didn't like the fact that it looked like I was going to be replaced by somebody cited at the newspaper just because I couldn't use the software. So she said, you know, write, see what you can do. Timing was actually very good because it coincided with a ruling by Janet Reno that Section 508 applied to software.
All right, cell phones go off. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Okay. All right. Okay, go ahead.
Anyhow.
You need to get a little closer? Yeah.
Okay.
You want to take that off the stand there?
No, it's okay.
Okay, all right. Just pull that to me. Yeah, that's it.
So, I went to work at Oracle in fall of 2000 and started out doing two things. Number one, I was evaluating software, going through the various products that we had to see where the accessibility issues were. Second of all, I was educating. Educated the developers, the QA people, managers, almost everybody. Didn't actually get to talk to Larry himself, but almost that far up in the organization, as to what accessibility is, what it means. And we formed a cross-divisional team of accessibility contacts. We had people from our applications division, people from the tools development, people from the database, and we were not in an official team. It was all dotted line. We borrowed people as we could. I was the only dedicated accessibility specialist, and for that matter, I still am, at Oracle. And we decided to figure out what our strategy was going to be. We came to the conclusion that the best way to look at it is we will code to the standards. We won't certify that we're accessible, but we will code to standards. So we looked at Section 508. We looked at WCAG 1.0. And we said, okay, these are what we have to work with. For non-HTML-based applications, we went to Section 508, 1194.21. For web-based, we used the Section 508, 1194.22, and the WCAG 1.0, with a couple of caveats. We took those standards and sifted through them for almost a year, actually, by the time we came up with our final set of guidelines. And we produced some guidelines that all of our developers need to follow when developing software. We published those on our internal website, and we have updated them periodically because of things like JAWS won't handle HTML in the proper way under these circumstances, so this is how we work around it. And this was back in the days of JAWS 3.5. We do use JAWS because it was, and I believe still is, the only screen reader on Windows that supports Java, and we have several Java applications. I, in fact, worked for probably three and a half years with Sun, Freedom Scientific, and, of course, Oracle, to get JAWS and the Access Bridge and Java and our software to work well together. Our primary development environment at this point is JDeveloper, which is totally written in Java. And for the most part, works. We have these fun things where they come along and decide to create a new visual way of doing things, and then I have to go back and say, how am I supposed to do that? But it gets there, slowly but surely. But back to the standards. We do, as I say, work on Section 508, and we have gotten involved in the Section 508 refresh that is going on. In fact, our accessibility program manager is synthesizing our comments to that this week. We had a group of us go through the Section 508 refresh and make comments. We've had people on the WCAG 2.0 committee. I am working on getting assigned to the WCAG YARIA, the Rich Internet Applications Working Group. And hopefully I'll also get on the HTML 5.0 group, because that looks scary from what I've heard about it. They're taking away a lot of our accessibility features. It looks really bad. But in order to stay on top of this, we figured we better get in there and make our voice heard up front rather than get settled with something that isn't the best. I have gone through a lot of Oracle's products. I haven't touched everything. We do acquire companies left and right, and we can't say that all that software is accessible yet. We say that they will adhere to our standards. We give them a chance to come up to speed. Usually by their next release is what we give them that time frame to get their software in shape. Also helps when they start using our frameworks to do it. We have, I think it was back in 2001, 2002, we had a development framework that we used called UIX. It is a web framework. You build applications based on widgets that you, quote, drag and drop onto a web page. I sat in a development meeting with the UIX developers and said, okay, this is what I have to do to access the web. And I walked them through some applications on the web. They walked away saying, we can fix that. They have developed an accessibility mode which adds a lot of features. In accessibility mode, the alt attribute is added. Titles are added everywhere. Summaries are added to tables. Now, some of it, granted, the developers have to go in and fill in the actual text, but the functionality is there. We are expanding on that. If you don't run in accessibility mode, then it defaults to bare HTML because it's smaller, faster to download, faster to use because obviously the pages are smaller. But it's a configuration change that actually, if the web application is designed properly, and I'll show you one here shortly, you can change it on the fly from inaccessible to accessible mode. We have gotten involved in JSF, Java Server Faces, which allow you to drag and drop components onto a web page and have them perform different functions. They're supposedly better than the native HTML components. And in fact, in April or May, Oracle donated its set of JSF components to the open source community in the Trinidad project of Apache. We also announced that we will be donating our rich internet application widgets once they are ready to the open source. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with rich internet applications, that's another name might be DHTML, AJAX.
Yep.
We've been working very hard on all of that. I can't say a whole lot about it because it is not released, but I can tell you I've been working for the last year to make sure that our components are accessible. I've had the wonderful opportunity to be a bouncing ball in Oracle. I bounced from manager to manager to manager. My latest bounce has put me into the development arena where I am working with the team that is developing these rich internet widgets. They said, test these. They didn't give me any idea what they were supposed to do. They just said, test these. And then I came back. I filed I don't know how many bugs. And they said, okay, we'll fix those. And then they said, okay, you fix those. discovered how much Java I had forgotten. So I think this time I will go ahead. Chris can help me get things set up here. I do have an application that is written with our UIX framework. Actually, it's now called ADF, Application Development Framework.
Jack or something. I've got a headphone jack on this side.
Yeah, we have a cord.
They provided us with a cord. Where is it?
No, here. See this box right here? There's a wire. track that down. There we go. That's supposed to plug right into your laptop. I got this on purpose.
Now we just have to hope the laptop works.
Oh, that, yeah. Well, we got electricity, too, if you need
that. No, it's not that. It's that. Okay. I've been having issues with it.
Tom from Windows is ready.
I recognize
Whose voice is that? Oh, he's got eloquence at a high pitch.
Yeah. But this application is a simple... actually, it's not so simple. It's to allow you to search a timetable for a train station or a train system. Actually, it's developed based on the Long Island Railroad in New York. Wait through all these things that load on the beginning of Windows.
All tab.
Just starting up the web server.
Wireless networks detected. Both one or more wireless networks on the range of this computer does yield.
I don't know. Can everybody hear that? It's pretty low.
Try it again. I'll see one of these will do it.
Start menu. The navigation results arrow. J.
J available result menu.
J.
There we go.
Great.
So. D.
Demo site.
D. Enter.
Leaving menu. Start button.
To open. Press enter. 2%.
Choose accessibility mode - Windows Internet Explorer. Choose accessibility mode.
This application was actually put together in about 2 days by one of our product managers for a demo he was doing.
Shift tab.
Run with no accessibility as page link.
Shift tab.
Run with default accessibility.
Shift tab.
Run with screen reader accessibility as page link.
I haven't personally seen the difference between default accessibility and screen reader accessibility, although I've heard there is some. I think if the application is set up with default configuration, it comes as inaccessible mode. And then you can either downgrade it to inaccessible mode or upgrade it to screen reader mode from there. So we'll run it in screen reader accessible mode.
Enter. 1%.
Search the lure timetable.
Page has 2 edits of 28 links.
Search the lure timetable. This page link skip navigation elements to page contents. This page link graphic oracle logo - click to restart the app link graphic. Click to navigate to the Metropolitan Transportation Authority home page. This page link graphic skip all first level navigation elements. Graphic first level navigation elements. This page link graphic schedules - select to go to this tab. This page link graphic maps - select to go to this tab. This...
Most of these features are not actually implemented. Like I say, just the basic searching feature is.
From station combo box, Penn Station.
1 to 125. Tab, table, column 3, row 2.
The station combo box, Penn Station.
Whatever.
Forms mode,
B.
Babylon.
Babylon is the only 2 station that we have actually working at this point.
Tab.
Start departing date / time minute, Joel 2, 2007.
Type of text. Tab.
Select the access date picker with forms mode off.
Enter.
Connecting ...
New browser window.
http://webcanvas:/8888/timetable/basis/_ __adfb__ t new browser window. http://pic.
Tab.
Previous month link graph.
Tab.
Choose month combo box. July.
7 of 12.
So we actually have a date picker function. We can select it by month and then drill down into the actual day that you wish.
Tab.
Choose your combo box. 2007.
Tab.
Next month link.
Tab. Table. Column 1. Row 2.
1 this page.
Tab.
2 this page link.
Enter. New browser window.
Search the lure timetable - Windows Internet.
Tab. Table. Column 3. Row 1.
Combo box. 11:30.
22 of 24.
Okay, that's current time at home, so that's why it's using that time as the default.
Tab.
Combo box. And.
1 of 2.
AM.
Tab.
Departed radio button checked.
One of tab. Out of tables. Tab.
Click the search the timetable button.
Enter. 100%.
Schedules and fares. Skip navigation elements to page contents. This page link. Skip navigation elements to page contents. This page link.
Okay. And this is where one of the caveats to our use of WCAG 1.0 comes in. We do utilize JavaScript a great deal in our applications, and we've managed to do it in such a way that it does not interfere with accessibility.
Schedule search results.
Column 1, row 1.
Depart.
Control windows down arrow.
Funkies. Not used to this keyboard.
11:24.
Row 2, arrive.
12:21.
Transfer, leave.
Link off peak.
Leave, arrive, depart.
11:24, 11:34, 12:30.
Row, arrive.
13:17.
Transfer, leave. Arrive.
Okay, so we have five rows displayed on this table.
11:11, depart.
Arrive.
Row 1. Shift tab.
Select the view next set this page.
Enter.
Previous 5 this page link.
So we just refreshed using a JavaScript feature. So we didn't refresh the whole page. We just refreshed the table with new data. And we've spent a great deal of time working on that to make sure that it doesn't interfere. And when... I think we say that if the refresh happens above where the cursor is, that we do a full refresh. Because then the screen reader will know about it. I'm not sure that that's the case, but I think that's where we're headed.
Select record set. Combo box 6-10-41.
But we do have the skip navigation links in there from section 508. And they've jumped to various places on the page, as long as JAWS agrees with it. A lot of stuff we've had to do to work around JAWS and its idiosyncrasies. I guess Haley Curtis thinks that's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
The other thing is that we do, as we go through our various products and as new releases come up, we do publish their accessibility status on our external website as a voluntary product accessibility template. We do keep those up to date, and we do have a lot of things on our website, which is www.oracle.com/accessibility. On there, we do have a white paper that discusses how to develop a forms application that is accessible, because our forms applications are not by default accessible. There are things you can do that make them accessible as a developer, and if you follow the guidelines, then it works very well. If you don't...
/accessibility?
Yes.
What's your answer?
It's oracle.com/accessibility. I regret to say that it's not the most accessible page in the world on its own.
But it's aimed at developers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But it is one of those things that I've been pushing to get fixed.
The website?
That site, yeah. JDeveloper is our primary development environment for web-based applications. It is a very, very large Java application. And we have things in there like UML modeling tools, where you can develop diagrams. And we actually got that to be accessible here a couple of years ago. Create diagram by dragging and dropping things onto the diagram, and then you're able to navigate through the diagram using the context menu. We can drag and drop things onto web pages that you're developing. And just, it's a complete web development environment, and the current release, I believe, is 10.1.3, I think that's what's out on oracle.com. And it is probably 80% accessible. There are areas that have issues that we have addressed. And Unfortunately, they then went and changed the whole interface for version 11, so we're having to go back through the whole set of hoops again. I think at this point I pretty much covered the material that I had. So.
Okay.
Brad Hodges.
All right, now I have two so far, Nancy and Brad. Nancy? And who? Petey? Preety? Oh, Preety, yes, okay. What?
Tracy Soprano.
Okay, I'll stop. I've got you, Tracy. So first, Nancy.
I work for the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired.
Mm-hmm.
Don, I think I got a referral from you on email to a man who has worked with us before. We have run into several snafus with the accessibility of the Nebraska Information System, otherwise known as NIST. We are told it is Section 508 compliant. I think probably most of it is. Part of the problem that we run into, and I don't think this is an accessibility issue as much as it is, if you don't use it every day, it's so dang complicated to have it out. But beyond that, there are some accessibility issues. One we're running into is that it is based on legacy code, so JAWS 8 is not happening. Since JAWS 8 ain't happening, Windows Vista can't happen. It is getting very difficult to get Windows XP machines. And
not that hard.
You know, I'm wondering what you got stuck with this from PeopleSoft.
Yes.
And I'm wondering what kind of measures Oracle is taking.
If you're in a position to answer that. So the question is, if you're dealing with one of these large systems that is reputed to come from Oracle, or, you know, they say, ah, it's from Oracle or PeopleSoft or whatever, and it happens to be an older system. Maybe you don't have an answer to this, but the first, you know, this is what happens out there when states like Nebraska decide to adopt a comprehensive system, and then they find that parts of it don't work. Do you have any thoughts on that? Is there someplace we can go, somebody we can talk to? Or Nancy, actually, or the people who promote accessibility here. You want to answer that, or if you can?
I can't say.
Whoa. Right, I it moved, yeah.
I can't say much because I don't have the microphone.
Yeah.
I can't say a whole lot about that, other than the fact that, as I said in the early part of the presentation, we do acquire these companies and their software, and they do have to come up to our level of accessibility as soon as possible. I know that the PeopleSoft issue has come up from Nebraska because I've gotten several emails from Nancy. And
wait till November. I'll email you in November. Let's just sign me up for insurance, since that's one of the parts that never works.
Right. I understand the problem. Trust me, I almost quit Oracle in about the first 2 weeks I worked there because I could not navigate their benefits site.
Okay.
Now, as it was, turned out, they were insisting that I use Netscape, which Netscape 3 and JAWS 3.5
they don't get along. Yeah.
Don't get along.
Yeah. Right.
So,
okay.
So I can't really address the issue other than the fact that we are working on it.
Okay, Brad.
I have fundamentally a comment, and if you're care to respond, I would appreciate that. It strikes me, looking at this from the larger picture, that the real issue here is a decision that was made to use Java at some point along a path that your corporation and Oracle took. It seems to me that these are the decisions which, when they're made, are cast to die, and then the difficulties with accessibility begin. And if these decisions are made more intelligently to begin with, a different path might have been chosen. Do you have any sense on how we as advocates and consumers can influence that very highest level of decision making to steer the development down the most accessible path rather than a less accessible one.
If we can at all.
I don't know that I can address that directly. The only thing I can do is say that in terms of technologies that are coming up, getting involved in things like the YARIA, the HTML5 group, I can't, at my position, I cannot affect the decision to go Java versus C or whatever else.
Right.
We have had a change in our management, in our accessibility policy director in the last 6 months. And our new manager seems incredibly gung-ho. He wants to get this fixed. And he wants things to be working the way they should. So we are trying to push it as hard as we can at this point.
Thank you.
Okay, Preeti?
Tom, several times during your conversation, I've heard about workarounds with the reality of what exists today, right?
Yes.
So theoretical, wonderful, WCAG standards, Section 508 standards, and then you hit reality and you have to do these workarounds. Is there a blog somewhere, because we do a lot of that, and these best practices are invaluable to the community, I think. Is there a blog or somewhere where you share your experiences?
Not yet. It is something that will be happening. I actually started a blog several years ago under Aura Blogs that discussed J Developer accessibility issues. Primarily, I got set up and got information up there on how to configure J Developer with the Access Bridge, and that's about as far as it went. I think I discussed how to create a UML diagram with it. I will be more active in that. That's one of the charters for this coming year, is to get that information out to the public.
I would love to collaborate on that. So
for full disclosure, Preeti, do you know Preeti?
No, I don't.
Preeti Kumar is with DQ Systems, which develops tools to make websites to evaluate accessibility and to then make them more accessible.
Okay.
And I hope I stated your mission correctly, yeah. Okay, Tracy?
Sure. Tracy Sprague. Couple product questions. Top link, accessible or not?
He wants to know if top link is accessible, yes or no?
From what I have seen, well.
Here, the mic keeps moving because you and I have to share. You and I have to share.
TopLink, my exposure to TopLink is that it is in the background. I know there are some interfaces to it, which I have not actually experimented with yet. My guess is that it will be, if it isn't already, it will be fairly accessible.
Next one? Tracy? What? No, no, wait, I've got Tracy. How many, what other programs, Tracy?
Well, actually, the guidelines we should best provide our developers, you're talking about, are you strongly suggesting that we should ask our developers to use the UIX widgets and have us use that as someone...
Can you repeat the question?
There are other widgets in the marketplace. You probably have to say we should use the UIX widgets within JDeveloper, but there are other tools. Do you have a? Are you comfortable? Is there a set that work and set that don't, and are those clearly defined?
This is a JDeveloper question, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. The question, it was basically, should somebody use the UIX widgets or the Trinidad JSF components that we have created versus something else? Quite honestly, I'm not in a position to be able to address that. As an employee, yes, you use UIX and the ADF widgets, but I haven't seen anything else to compare it to, personally.
Is that what Oracle is using?
Yes.
All right.
All of our new applications are built on the ADF components.
Shailish?
Oh, Shailish, how can I tell the...
Whoa. Who's that back there?
David.
Huh?
Shailish from DQ Systems.
Yeah, you got... Shailish got ahead of you. Just hold on. Okay, Shailish, go ahead.
Did
John. This is Shailesh Panchang. I also work with DQ Systems, and I've corresponded with you a couple of times on the Java.
Yes.
Question. I mean, now basically you talked to Jay Developer. You also demonstrated something that was mainly web content. You also talked about Devaria and all that. But what about other applications? For instance, you've got these enterprise resource packages like Oracle Financials and the HR, Oracle HR and all that. Has that also been worked on in terms of accessibility?
Yes. Okay, the question is basically, well, I've discussed things like JDeveloper and some of our internet applications things. Shailesh's question was, what about our large financial applications like HR and all various financial things?
Oracle Financial.
Yeah. Oracle Financials. Yes, they are being worked on. I believe the current release of the financials was built on our original UIX framework. I'm not certain of that. The upcoming releases will be built using our JSF components and eventually, no doubt, the new ARIA components.
Okay, now was that David back there?
Yeah. How can I tell the version of the application I'm using that has been rewritten with the new framework and is the accessibility mode which is available for all applications, and so how can I turn it on as a user or do I turn it on as a
That depends on how the application is written. For the majority of our things like the financials, etc., I believe there is a setting in preferences that you can set on a user-by-user basis. Or it can be set as an administrator, you can set it as the default. Because that you just go in, you update a config file in the server to enable it on a global basis.
But how can I tell the application that's been rewritten so I can install the new features?
You would have to check the version number, and I don't have the list of version numbers.
But I mean, if there's a place like that,
I don't believe there is a place to look for that. I would say the best thing to do would be to contact support, Oracle support, and we do have a team of support specialists that are being trained on JAWS and on accessibility. It's actually been going on for a couple of years, but they just asked for a new round of training.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Don? I have certain comments I would like to make. Don, I'm very glad that you have come and talked to us about what's going on at Oracle. I'm surprised you're the only accessibility specialist they have. I hope you guys will get a lot more. This is encouraging, but not satisfying. I don't know how to say it quite in a positive way. It sounds like you've done that. A lot of work has been done to get the foundational aspects taken care of, and that what you're also trying to do is to see if you can't safeguard or make safer the future with regard to ARIA and HTML 5.0. I agree, that's something we're going to have to worry an awful lot about. It could go in a way that we might not like. It sounds to me that one of the problems that the public has with regard to the stuff that Oracle develops is and you could tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I'd like to know if I'm correct in saying that the push is now started, but the effects in the field are somewhat not quite there yet, because a lot of it depends on which pieces of software you're running and how old they are and how much legacy code there is. And so I suppose my question to you would be, now that we've had this discussion, and now that you've pointed us to this oracle.com/accessibility resource, if you're out in the field and you're actually struggling with the day-to-day issues of trying to make something work that is allegedly from Oracle or that's part of something that Oracle has bought, Where can we, as either consumers or rehabilitation professionals or technology developers who want to make things accessible, go really to try to get the answers that we need in order to get something to work? Because that's where the frustration exists right now. There's not enough people that know what to do to make things work from Oracle. And even you, who have worked there for 6 years or more, have found that there are some things that you still have to keep educating people within the corporation about. This is frustrating to those of us who like to oversimplify life, who think that there ought to be a miracle answer that we can have right now, even though we know we can't. So are you, for example, I don't want to say that you're a resource without talking to you about this first, but I know you've offered some information and that you've let people know publicly that there are certain things that you are able to act as a resource for, but I suspect you're not the one that we can say, if you have trouble with Oracle software, go to Don Rakes, right? I mean, you're not going to be the one. Who is that person? What can we do, first of all, to recognize what Oracle has done, and secondly, to urge them to do more, and who should we work with to make that happen? That's my question. And here's the stand again. It's moving.
Certainly, I am available to answer questions. I do it, if not frequently, at least regularly. I've answered questions for people all over the world about how to use, especially JDeveloper, because that's been my focal area. But JDeveloper and other Oracle software, and if I don't know the answer, I will forward it on to those who should know. There is actually an email address, which I'm not coming up with at the moment. I think it's accessibility_ww@oracle.com, or just accessibility@oracle.com, which will go directly to the accessibility program director, and then he will forward that message on to whoever needs it.
Well, here's what I would want you to do. If you can find out what that is and tell me, I will make sure that everybody that I've got on my mailing list, I will make sure that everybody will get that. That way we will get the definitive answer from you about that, and that way we'll funnel our concerns and questions to the right place. We don't want to overuse you. Clearly some people out there have already talked to you. Nancy, she's talked to you. Shayla, he's talked to you. So people know about you already, and I hope that they're using you wisely and getting from you what they need. But I want to make sure that we have a way that we can go to Oracle and say, you know, here's where the rubber meets the road. I know that every time, I got to tell you, as a rehab professional, which I have to confess I am sometimes, I used to be more of a computer professional, Whenever I hear that there's Oracle software involved with a client, I immediately know that I have to ramp up my technical competence a little bit and get the right people on staff who know how to delicately balance the software. I mean, if you're talking some applications, you got to use the Java Access Bridge, and right away when you start saying that, that immediately is not the default. That means you got to get everything exactly balanced and correct. I mean, is that an accurate character? I think that's a fairly accurate characterization of how things are.
Yes, it is.
Right now, and that is frustrating from the point of view of a rehabilitation agency who is seeking desperately to get blind people employed in a company that doesn't want, you know, and where the employers don't want to make too many changes in their environment because they're already worried that you're going to bust their network and stuff. So,
yes,
you know.
That was one of the issues that I brought up with the whole Section 508 refresh, because one of the things that was in there was that it has to be that policies or software cannot be an issue. And I've dealt with a man from the Navy who wasn't allowed to install the Access Bridge, but he had to use JDeveloper and Forms Developer, both of which require it.
Right.
And so we had to figure out a way to work around the policy to enable accessibility.
Ooh. Okay, well, let's give a big hand for Don. Thank you, Don, for coming. I hope that we'll find future opportunities to work together to promote accessibility. I'm encouraged by this meeting. I'm frustrated also, but I'm encouraged.
It's a whole lot better than it was 7 years ago.
That's true. It is better than it was 7 years ago. And what I'm hoping will happen is that the bettering, the improvement, will continue steadily as we move forward. We're not there yet. The world isn't perfect yet. But, hey, if we get this kind of, we got to start somewhere, right? And this is where we're going to start. So thank you a lot for coming. This has been a great discussion. And we will move ahead. Thank you very much. Give them a hand. Yes, please.